If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. No Mike Tagliere today. No Dan Harris today. Yes, it's just me. They finally let me take over the reins here after 11 months of working here. But no worries, you don't just get to listen to me ramble on for 45 minutes by myself. Even I wouldn't listen to that podcast. I'm joined today by my guy, Ray Garvin of FTN Fantasy. He's the creator of Destination Devi, and he can be found on Twitter at RayGQ. That's Q-U-E. Ray, brother, welcome in to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast.
Kyle Yates, I am so excited to be here, brother. I'm so excited to talk to you. We have communicated with each other in the fantasy space and personally for over a year now, and to see your growth, to see what you're doing, man, it's been nothing but phenomenal. So proud of you and the work you're doing with Fantasy Pros. It's a great program, great show. Everything you guys do is top notch. So I'm excited to jump on with you for the first time. And all of the time that we've known each other, this is the first time we've been on a podcast together. So I think this will be a good one. I've got big shoes to fill today. I've got some big shoes to fill, but I think I'll be an admirable fill-in for those guys.
For sure, dude. Yeah, I'm so excited. Big fan of your work, obviously, and you and I go back quite a ways here. So excited to get the chance to finally talk. For those who are tuning in, guys, I just want to go over the show outline here super quick, just so you can expect. We've got the Monday Night Football recap, both games. We're going to talk through those. And then the confidence meter here. We're going to be talking about some players that heading into your fantasy football playoffs, what should your confidence level be on these guys? We got a listener mailbag. Put that out on Twitter earlier yesterday. So if you are not on Twitter, this is one of the things that you're missing, the ability to get your question answered on the show. Listener mailbag, we got a ton of questions there. And then a dynasty segment here where we'll be looking through some of the 2021 free agency class and highlighting some guys that you should be thinking about acquiring now before their situations change. Before we get into it, though, I just want to quickly tell you about our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. Not only will we have today's show on our channel, but we have every football podcast there, along with quick hitting advice videos and our weekly live streams every Thursday, Sunday, and Tuesday. If you like our content, please subscribe to our channel. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that like button and click the bell to get notified when each new video drops. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Ray, let's go through some of the Monday Night Football games here. We had two of them. We had Washington knock off the 11-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. The undefeated season is no more. Again, if we could have predicted any of the teams to knock off Pittsburgh and their undefeated season, I think Washington would have been the one that we would all have said. But 23-17 here, let's look at Washington. Alex Smith, obviously coming back. It's just a miracle that he's even on the football field. 31 for 46 yesterday, 296 yards and a touchdown. Not really someone that you're looking at in one quarterback leagues, but does have some value in two QB leagues. The big news here, though, is Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson leaves this game early, only two carries in for 14 yards, leaves with a toe injury. Ray, at this point, I mean, Peyton Barber stepped in. He did what Peyton Barber does, 1.6 yards per carry, does find the end zone, though. Let's say, like, I mean, we got to face the reality here. Let's say that Antonio Gibson misses next week. Is Peyton Barber someone that fantasy managers should be looking at, especially in week 14?
You know, honestly, Kyle, the play for me would be J.D. McKissic. And I know he does not offer the same rushing upside as far as volume. Peyton Barber is going to be the volume play. He's going to get the carries. And like you said, he's probably going to be the goal line back. But what I loved about J.D. McKissic, and this was a problem even when Antonio Gibson was on the field, was how involved he was on third downs and in the receiving game. And 10 receptions, 70 yards. I mean, right there, that's 17 fantasy points in a PPR league. And if you're half-point PPR, you know, that's still good production. And he's still going to take command a couple of carries out of the backfield. But at this point of the season, Kyle, beggars can't be choosers. So Peyton Barber and or J.D. McKissic, if you've got an opportunity to grab one of those guys, you need to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to looking at J.D. McKissic in especially full PPR leagues. Like you said, I think you can rule him out there as a solid RB2 next week. Logan Thomas, man, where did he come from, man? 9 targets, 9 receptions, 98 yards, and the score was like a yard away from having 2 touchdowns in this game, too. He's performed extremely well here as of late. He can be someone now. This was a tough matchup, too. He performed in it. He is someone that is now in the circle of trust. I think you can roll him out there every single week. Cam Sims, 9 targets, 5 receptions for 92 yards. But again, this is week 14. I don't think we can necessarily trust Cam Sims next week, but Terry McLaurin here, man, 6 targets, 2 receptions, 14 yards. Are we panicked here on Terry McLaurin, or is this something, hey, we just plug him right back into our lineup next week?
Yeah, do not panic. I watched this game from start to finish. I've got a lot of Terry McLaurin on my fantasy teams, and Pittsburgh clearly were out to stop him. They were not going to let Terry McLaurin do what he does best, which is catch the ball, create yards after the catch. They schemed to take him away. They did a really good job at that, and Alex Smith pivoted to other options. Right now, it's a miracle that he's playing, and it's fantastic to see him on the field, but he is not pushing the ball downfield, and that's why you're seeing players like Logan Thomas, like J.D. McKissic, you know, do work, command so many targets in that intermediate to short route range. But I'm still not panicking. You start your studs. Terry McLaurin is a stud. He's one of the top receivers in the game. So, hey, tough matchup. Didn't work out well for him this week. It was crazy, you know, this Monday night game. But I'm not concerned about McLaurin long term.
Yeah, same here. Let's flip over to the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, 53 pass attempts yet again, man. Just continues to throw the ball over 45 times every single game. 305 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Does have the pick, though. The big thing here for me, the running game, man. Benny Snell, what the heck, man? You were supposed to step in for James Conner and see and at least be able to produce 8 carries, 5 yards. Anthony McFarland is your leading rusher here for the Pittsburgh Steelers with 15 yards. So I guess when your running game isn't working that well, you have to throw the ball 53 times. Benny Snell, I mean, James Conner, I'm hoping that he's back next week, but I mean, if he isn't, Benny Snell, can you trust him next week?
No, you can't. You can't trust him. I don't think Pittsburgh trusts him, and hence the reason why Ben threw the ball over 50 times in this game. And listen, let's not take credit away from the Washington football team's defense.
It's insane, man.
They have one of the best probably the best defensive line in football. They're playing very well. They're playing with confidence. But for this team, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kyle, we know these guys as grinders. They want to establish the run. And right now, without James Conner, they can't do it. So as long as he's out, I would be very, very, very skeptical of starting any Pittsburgh Steeler running back.
From a dynasty perspective, man, this is an interesting situation moving forward, because James Conner, I don't think he's played up to, you know, the standard that he would get a big long-term contract from this team next offseason. So we could be looking at an opening here for a running back, whether in free agency or the draft, and Najee Harris, something like that. Of course, we'll get into those guys. Let's flip over to the receivers here, though. Deontay Johnson just continues to see 10-plus targets. He produces 8 receptions, 71 yards, and a score. Does have a couple of drops, as Deontay Johnson does, but he's one of the main, most consistent fantasy options that you have out there. Eric Ebron, 11 targets in back-to-back games here, 7 receptions, 68 yards. You got to continue to just roll him into your lineup. The disappointments here, though, Chase Claypool, 4 targets, 2 receptions for 38 yards, and Juju Smith-Schuster, 10 targets. All right, that's great. 7 receptions. All right, we're sitting pretty. 28 receiving yards. Juju Smith-Schuster on 73 receptions, man, this year is averaging 8.2 yards per reception. This is not great. What the heck do we do with Juju Smith-Schuster moving forward?
You know, it's one of those things for the rest of the season. You asked about confidence. I'm confident that he's going to receive the targets. I'm confident that he's going to catch the ball. What I'm not confident in is the yards. I'm not confident in the yards. I'm not confident in the touchdowns. And you mentioned Deontay Johnson with a couple of drops. Ebron had 3. I believe Juju had a couple. I mean, this could have been a monster game for Ben. Here's the thing. We just talked about it, Kyle. Without James Conner, who isn't playing great football this year, they can't run the ball. They're not an effective running team, so they're going to throw the ball. So the conundrum that we're placed in is we have to start Johnson, you have to start Ebron, you have to start Claypool, and if you're starting 3 wide receivers or 2 in a flex and you have Juju, it's hard to bench him, but you just don't feel good about it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, again, you know, the target volume, man. Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been talking about here recently is like, what do you want to chase as a fantasy manager? Do you want to chase the yardage and the touchdown rate or anything like that? Or do you want to chase the targets, right? And I think that that's something that you got to continue to look at Juju. Yeah, again, you're not super excited. He doesn't come with a ton of upside. But yeah, as a wide receiver 3 or something like that, I think you can continue to look at Juju. Let's go over to the other Monday Night Football game here. The Buffalo Bills, 34. San Francisco 49ers, 24. Josh Allen. Coming back with a vengeance, man. 32 of 40, 375 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Does add 11 yards on the ground. Josh Allen was someone who is fading down my board because of the way that he, or my rankings, because of the way he had looked here recently. Is he just back up to a top 5 option at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he is playing lights out. I watched that game and I was so impressed by Josh Allen. Just, he only had 8 incomplete passes. He looks so good. He looks so poised, and he didn't even give you anything on the ground. You know, he didn't give you, I know he's kind of protecting an injury that he had sustained a couple of weeks ago, but what he's doing right now, the weapons that he has, you know, Cole Beasley and Diggs, I mean, goodness, you've got to, I mean, top 5. Absolutely, Kyle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Cole Beasley, you mentioned him, 11 targets, both him and Diggs, both 11 targets. But Cole Beasley, 9 receptions, 130 yards, and a score. He did leave this game for a little bit, too. Got banged up, came back, and continued to produce. Stephon Diggs, 10 receptions, 92 yards. Doesn't present a ton of upside here in this matchup, but yet still bringing a safe floor every single week. Gabriel Davis, 4 targets. 3 receptions, 68 yards, and a score. I feel like he had a very similar stat line the week before, too. So he's someone that's in the flex conversation for me. As long as John Brown is out, I think you can look at Gabriel Davis as a high upside flex option. Dawson Knox was the other one that I wanted to talk with you specifically about. 4 targets, 4 receptions, 27 yards, and the score. Dawson Knox, obviously coming out of Ole Miss a couple of years ago, was pretty hyped. He had his fans, right? And so are we starting to see the page turn here towards Dawson Knox? He's dealt with injuries, concussions, I believe, specifically. But is this starting to turn the page here where Dawson Knox, I don't think you can look at him in the fantasy playoffs, but yet for next season, should we be excited about Dawson Knox?
I think so. And everybody has to remember that at Ole Miss, he played on a team with A.J. Brown, with D.J. Metcalf, with another highly touted wide receiver prospect in Elijah Moore, with Kadarius Hodge. There was a lot of target competition to go around on that Ole Miss team. And I believe Dawson Knox caught a whopping total of like 9 passes in his career at Ole Miss. But the physical attributes, the talent, the upside is there. And I really was high on Dawson Knox coming into this season. I thought he was going to take a step forward. Like you said, injuries, had to deal with some of that. And, you know, bringing Stephon Diggs over definitely took some targets away from what the tight end could have produced. But long term, I am still a closet Dawson Knox truther. I believe in the talent. This offense being built around Josh Allen and his skill set is outstanding for all the pass catchers. We thought this would be a horrible place for Stephon Diggs, and it's turning into be a fantastic landing spot. So, yes, Dawson Knox, I still think that in Dynasty, he's definitely worth a hold, stash, and maybe even an acquire.
The running back situation here in Buffalo is just giving me headaches, man. Zach Moss has that fumbled exchange, and then we do not see him for quite a while. He ends up with 3 carries for 9 total yards. Devin Singletary faded into oblivion a couple weeks ago. He's starting to come back. 18 carries, 61 yards, not particularly efficient, only 3.4 yards per carry. Does add three receptions on 4 targets for 22 yards. I think that this is a situation where I'm not going to feel comfortable looking at these guys in the fantasy playoffs because you have just no idea who is going to be the guy for them moving forward. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I mean, flip a coin, you know, right. I would like to think now that Devin Singletary, okay, he's the guy, but you know, 3 weeks ago, I was telling everybody Zach Moss was the guy and he right. was the running back to own. So at this point, do not listen to me when it comes to which Buffalo Bills running back to play. Because I have no clue. I mean, right now, based on the information that was presented, it looks like it's Devin Singletary, but we could roll into next week and it very well could be a Zach Moss game. It is frustrating. It is a headache. And if you were asking me, Ray, pick one, you have to pick one right now. You've got to go with Devin Singletary.
I agree, but I think at this point he's a low upside play, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, barely yeah. utilized around the end zone, barely getting those goal line carries. That's Zach Moss's territory when he is on the field, so it just doesn't come with a ton of upside. I think you can do better. Going over to the San Francisco 49ers, Nick Mullins, 26 for 39, does have 316 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but this was not a great performance. I think what this speaks to me mostly is that the 49ers cannot go into next season with Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins as their starting quarterbacks. I think they're going to be in the quarterback conversation, whether in the draft or in free agency. But Brandon Ayuk, 9 targets, 5 receptions, 95 yards, and a score, does get it done. He was to blame for one of Nick Mullins' interceptions there. It went right off his hands, right into the defender's arms. Debo Samuel, 9 targets as well, 6 receptions, 73 yards. With these two guys specifically, because I don't think you're looking at Kendrick Bourne particularly, but with these two guys specifically, these guys are just in the weekly wide receiver 3 conversation and you fire them up every single matchup, right?
Absolutely. And I think Brandon Ayuk's upside, you know, lost amongst the rookie wide receiver hype has been Brandon Ayuk. And I know he had dealt with COVID, so missed a couple of weeks of play. He started off training camp on fire and had a hamstring injury coming into the season. But when he's on the field and not letting passes bounce off his hands, he's dynamic. He fits what San Francisco wants to do, which is get their playmakers the ball and let them do damage after the catch. Ayuk is a fantastic rookie wide receiver, and I've got a lot of faith in him moving forward, as you said, as a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2, wide receiver 1 upside. To get a player like that in your wide receiver 3 slot that can easily turn a higher return on investment as far as a wide receiver 1 production, love it. And Debo, I mean, what's not to love about Debo? I love the way he plays. They get him involved in the running game and in the receiving game. That's all they have right now until Kittle comes back as pass catching weapons.
For sure. If you did end up streaming Jordan Reed, you were happy that he got that late touchdown, 3 receptions, 32 yards, and the score. Looking at the running game, though, Jeff Wilson, 7 carries, 47 yards. Raheem Mostert, 9 carries, 42 yards. This will just kind of take us right into our next segment, confidence meter. I want to talk about Raheem Mostert here because, I mean, game script kind of got out of hand in this one pretty quickly, right? And so you're not going to see Raheem Mostert get the 16 plus carries that, you know, where he can absolutely do damage. I mean, he's still average, 4.7 yards per carry, looked great, looked explosive. But moving forward with Raheem Mostert, with the way that this offense looks, particularly up against Washington next week, what's your confidence meter here on Raheem Mostert? Let's just go 1 to 10 here. Give me a number, in with 1 being I don't have any confidence in them, 10 being, yeah, they're locked in into your starting lineup. Where are you landing here with Raheem Mostert moving into the fantasy football playoffs?
About a 6.5, 7. 6.5, 7. I still think he's the running back that you want in that backfield. Why Jeff Wilson got 7 carries, I don't know if it still has to do with a lingering injury from Mostert, but I'm at about a 6, 6.5, 7 with Mostert.
Yeah, I'm in that range. I think that he's obviously going to be I think he's going to be the main ball carrier. But the issue is, okay, how many games are they going to get out of hand with Washington? That's a tough defense too. I think that, about a 6.5, a 7. You can roll him into your lineup, but he was creeping towards like the top 12 in my weekly rankings. He's going to land back towards like 18, 19, 20.
Agreed.
Jonathan Taylor, brother. Let's talk about Jonathan Taylor here. I mean, for everything that Frank Reich has done with this offense, I mean, it's looked great in spurts here, but His confusion with who Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines are supposed to be. I mean, Nyheim Hines is a fourth and one short yardage back, and Jonathan Taylor is a pass catcher out of the back. I don't know, brother, but Jonathan Taylor does get the majority of the carries here in this past game. Great schedule moving forward. What's your confidence meter here on Jonathan Taylor?
The schedule's fantastic. My confidence meter in Jonathan Taylor is an 8. My confidence meter in Frank Wright utilizing Jonathan Taylor to make him an 8 is probably about a 6. Right. I want to say, Kyle, that yes, we saw it. He saw it. They saw it. Let's go. Wheels up. But right now, I mean, you have to start him. But confidence, it's a 6-7. I'm just hoping. I'm hoping they saw what they needed to see last week to go ahead and unleash Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, same here. I think that from the talent perspective, from the workload, like when he gets it, yeah, absolutely. I think you should be extremely confident in the player, but yet the workload here does push him down a little bit. Again, he's in your starting lineup, but yeah, I don't think that he's at the point where, all right, we can fully trust him as a top 12 option every single week. Tyler Lockett is the next guy here, up and down season, man. Boom weeks is just exploded, but then also gives you like 4 fantasy points. So confidence meter here in Tyler Lockett moving forward into the fantasy playoffs.
It's about a 4. It's about a 4. And it seems like for as excited as we were for let Russ cook, Pete Carroll is turning on the crock pot and slowing that down just a little bit. We're not cooking with gas. We're not cooking with fire. We are just slow cooking right now. And unless it's DK Metcalf, that's really the only pass catcher I have supreme confidence in. It's about a 4 with Tyler Lockett, and I say that, and next week he'll have 8 receptions and 2 touchdowns. But I'm not very confident in that play moving forward.
I put out on Twitter during that game, I said, I'll honestly take let Russ stir at this point. Like, I just want something, brother. Tyler Lockett next week up against the Jets. So I think that's the point where I say, okay, it's going to be a little bit higher. I'll put him at a 6. You had him at a 4. I'll go a little bit higher because of the matchup. But again, this offense, the way it's looking here recently, not super inspiring. Michael Thomas is the next guy here. For me, it's at an 8 for me. Taysom Hill has been looking his way. Taysom Hill has actually looked pretty good here. So I think it's concerning. Okay, when do we get Drew Brees back? Does he actually lock on to Michael Thomas again? That's the point where it's not at a full 10. But yeah, I'm still going with an 8 here. What about you, man?
I was at a 9. I'm at an 8 is fine. I'm at a 9. I mean, he's the guy. He's when Taysom Hill is going to throw the ball, Michael Thomas is option 1, option 2, and then probably option 3. I feel good about him. And Taysom Hill has not looked bad. I mean, he hasn't looked bad. I know that he caps the ceiling of passing because of his rushing ability. But Michael Thomas is back. He's healthy. We haven't seen any shenanigans from him. So I feel confident rolling MT out there. Regardless of the matchup and regardless who's at quarterback.
This running back has had a couple of bad weeks here recently. He hasn't really lived up to the expectations. Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. What is our confidence meter here in Kareem Hunt moving into the playoffs?
This is a tough one. Confidence meter in Hunt is about a 6, 6.5. Nick Chubb has looked phenomenal. And I think right now what they want to do is continue to ride that wave. They are pushing for a playoff spot. They're looking really good right now. Kareem Hunt still getting the workload. He's still getting the volume. So I'm not lacking confidence because of his usage and opportunity. He just hasn't produced. He just has not produced as well as Nick Chubb has looked coming off of injury. So it's still about a 6. He's going to get the volume. I just want to see him a little more involved in the receiving game, which didn't happen last week.
Yeah, it hasn't happened here recently, which pushes him down a little bit here. I'm going to go with a 4. I still think that he's a tier down from Jonathan Taylor, where it's like you got to start him still. But yet, I mean, it depends on your other options, right? And so I think that I'm going to go a little bit lower there. Coming off of a 45-0 loss, this guy had just been on fire, Justin Herbert. What is our confidence meter in Justin Herbert moving into the playoffs? Because he's gotten a lot of teams to the fantasy playoffs. He's just been playing lights out. So now fantasy managers are going to be pretty concerned. What's our confidence meter with Justin Herbert?
Oh, I'm still very confident. I mean, he played against Bill Belichick, and he's a rookie. We saw Bill Belichick make Kyler Murray look, sort of regular at quarterback. I'm still confident in Herbert. He's kind of hit this little bit of a rookie wall over the past couple of weeks, but he got you here. The matchup isn't too bad down the stretch for him. So I still have, give you a number, nine. I still feel good about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm at an 8 for Justin Herbert. I think you just plug him right back into your starting lineup. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, illness game last week, was active, but didn't end up playing at all, didn't register a touch. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where are we at with him moving into the fantasy playoffs? For me, I'll just say it right now, I'm at like a 5, dude. Like, no. I'm concerned, man. Even when it's not necessarily just because of the illness game. I mean, it's barely to do with the illness game. It's just like, what's his workload any given week? We just have no clarity on that.
Yeah, it's this one. This one pains me, man. I'm at about a 4 with my confidence meter with Clyde. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl with their leading rusher rushing for sub 500 yards. They didn't need a running back. They didn't need it. This offense will continue, will always flow through the right arm of Patrick Mahomes. And if it's not a Clyde Edwards-Helaire game plan where they just say, we're going to want to run the ball all game, I'm just not confident in the rushing volume, and I'm not confident of his involvement in the receiving game. Maybe we see this down the line in the future, later on this season, throughout the playoffs. But right now, my advice to fantasy managers is be weary of Edwards-Helaire. And like you said, this has nothing to do with the illness game for me. The volume really hasn't been there for him consistently all season. So, I'm not very confident in him moving forward.
It's just enough. They do these like little games here at like Las Vegas, right? Where he gets that majority of the workload. And you go, all right, here we go. It's time. Yep. It's happening. It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire season. And then the next game he gets 11 touches. Yep. And 2 targets, right? Like, it's just, you can't rely on him. Yep. Let's go through just a few more here. Kyler Murray. Let's talk about Kyler Murray here. Couple down performances. He's gotten you to a winning record throughout the first half of the season, just been on fire. And so I guess I can dovetail it here with Russell Wilson. Kind of the same situation. Let's talk about these two guys. Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, where are our confidence meter with these two guys? Because they have not looked the same here recently.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if the shoulder injury for Kyler is affecting him at all in any way, shape, or form. But I'm still... I've got a little less, I'm more confident in Herbert. Okay. So I've got Kyler at about a 7.5, and Russell Wilson still right there. I'm not suggesting you bench them, but if you have better options, if you have a Rodgers, if you have a Herbert on your team, I wouldn't hesitate to play that guy over Kyler, depending on the matchup. So I'm still at about a 7.5 with Kyler Murray, because just as is, and I don't want to use the word bad, but not Kyler Murray-esque games that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, he could go out there and give you 2 on the ground and 2 through the air with 300 passing yards and absolutely win you a week. And I'm still starting Kyler Murray in quite a few leagues.
Yeah, same here. I've got him at a 7. So both these guys, you know, these guys, you're not sitting them. But I don't think that we can view them as those top 3 options. And again, we were pushing down Josh Allen down. You know, I think if you had asked us this question a week ago for Josh Allen, we would have said probably at a 5. Now it's at, you know, yep, we're all the way back up at an 8 or a 9 because he bounced back. And I think Kyler and Russ absolutely have the talent to do that. Before we keep moving with today's episode, I want to take a second and say thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring today's episode. Are you looking for the ultimate stocking stuffers for this holiday season? Then you need to look no further, because our sponsors, Manscaped, have the tools to make you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And great news, they just released their products across Europe, Canada, and Australia. Listen, guys, just because we're all trapped at home does not mean that we shouldn't take care of ourselves or that we can't look good. Whether it's for yourself or for someone else in your life, Manscaped is where you need to be shopping this Christmas season. A few of their products that are prime stocking stuffers this season are the Crop Cleanser Body Wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair, and the Foot Duster Foot Deodorant, designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit. Let's not forget about the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents.
Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code Yates. Whether this is for your partner, dad, brother, friend, get them something that they will actually use and it's almost sure to get a laugh. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code Yates. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. All right, let's move on to the listener mailbag here. Again, you guys, I put this out on Twitter at KyleYNFL. You guys responded with a ton of questions, so we're going to try to get through them. A lot of these are dynasty, so these are really, really, really good questions. I appreciate you guys asking them. We're going to try to get to all of them. Kyle Mills asks, in a dynasty league, how do you value young running backs who were not expected to get a high volume of touches this year, yet did and performed admirably? He gives an example of James Robinson, Miles Gaskin, and even throws Wayne Gallman into that conversation. His question is, do you expect Robinson and Gaskin to lose their jobs this offseason? For me, Ray, I think this has less to do with how they performed and more so of the draft capital conversation. I don't know where you land with this, but for me, like Robinson, obviously an undrafted free agent, Miles Gaskin, sixth round pick, I believe, and wasn't even utilized his rookie year in Miami. So it's like, I think these guys can emerge if they're given the opportunity. But I think from an NFL team perspective, if they're given the chance to supercharge that position with higher draft capital or a more proven veteran, and again, you're talking about Jacksonville, immense amount of cap space heading into next year. They can easily bring in one of these free agents that we'll talk about in a minute. But I think it's more so to do with the draft capital. What do you think with this question?
Well, that is sort of the dominator of the bottom of this equation is the draft capital. And while Miles Gaskin has higher draft capital, it still doesn't, I mean, sixth round pick, undrafted free agent, it doesn't move the needle. I am a little more confident in James Robinson for 2021. Okay. I do believe that he has done enough. This is just my belief that he has done enough to at least start out the season as the guy. Now, the ultimate X factor to this is if they do bring in a talented free agent or draft a rookie in the upcoming 2021 NFL draft, at that point in time, as soon as that happens, his value is shot. I am a little more concerned about Miles Gaskin. He just, even coming out of Washington, didn't profile as a true three-down workhorse running back for me. The Dolphins, they have a lot of needs, but I do believe that they saw when Gaskin was out and not having a competent rusher did not help their team. That is one of the teams that I believe will draft a guy in the second round. I'm sort of pegging that already. And if that happens, you know, now you're looking at a backup plus type running back. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The draft capital is the big underlying factor here.
Yeah, with James Robinson, I'm a little bit more confident, like you said. But yet, I do think that we have to be prepared, especially to, I mentioned it, the cap space. If this was a team that was cap strapped, they weren't going to be able to throw money at a free agent, then that would be something where I'd be like, yeah, he's got this job locked up. But yet, man, I think, and especially too, both of these teams have insane amount of draft capital too. So that's something that we have to consider too, is that these guys could easily, either of these teams could easily throw a second or third round pick at a running back and bring in a guy, at least to compete and have the depth, because Jacksonville has no depth.
Well, Kyle, and potential coaching change. If Jacksonville, you bring in a new coach, they are going to draft a quarterback, okay? We know that is going to happen. New coach, new quarterback, they want to get in their guys. You could be looking at a situation where, you know, it's just a clean house type deal here. So that is the risk you run with James Robinson and holding him and not moving him or trading him for draft capital or other assets.
Yep, completely agree. Next question, at FFBDYN, is Justin Jefferson a top five dynasty wide receiver heading into next season?
Can I just answer this with a single answer? Yes, yes, yes. He's fantastic. He's, for me, it's not just the age, it's the production, it's what he's doing. I love Justin Jefferson coming out of LSU. I thought by the end of this season, he would transition to the number one target. I didn't think by week four of the NFL season, he was going to be the number one target. He's an outstanding wide receiver. And Kyle, let me just throw this to you. I know that we spent all last year talking about how good Ja'Marr Chase was and Ja'Marr Chase opening up the offense for LSU for Justin Jefferson. I'm starting to look at that LSU team and thinking, yes, Chase is a stud, but maybe Justin Jefferson was so stinking good that he opened up the offense for Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he's a fan. fantastic wide receiver, and what's not to like about him?
I think it's a valid question, man. As far as the Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, I mean, even Terrace Marshall too on that team, Thaddeus Moss, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, and then of course Joe Burrow throwing a ball. That was just a stacked unit. So I think we may have overlooked Justin Jefferson a little bit. Now, I had him as like my third wide receiver in this class because I mean, Jerry Jeudy was just a stud coming out. Henry Ruggs, I had above him. Justin Jefferson received a very high grade in my grading system. And so, yeah, I think moving forward into next year, Justin Jefferson, man, top five dynasty wide receiver. I think he's entered the conversation of I'm not moving off of Justin Jefferson. No matter what offer I get, I don't think I'm moving off of Justin Jefferson.
Kyle, can I tell you pain, and I'll be brief. I traded Justin Jefferson week two in a dynasty league for James Conner, straight up.
Oh, no, brother.
It haunts. I wake up in cold sweats to this night, to this day. Don't ask me why. Let's just move on.
Dude, we've all got those dynasty trades that have just haunted us for years. I traded Aaron Jones for Jordan Howard at one point, brother. I mean, that, cold sweats for sure. LSHMIP on Twitter. Who is the third best quarterback in the 2021 rookie draft behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields? So we've got a wide range of listeners to this episode, right? We've got the people who follow college football closely. They know these guys. And then we've got people who are just starting to turn the page on Dynasty. So Trevor Lawrence, if you aren't aware of who he is, star quarterback, won the national championship as a freshman at Clemson. Justin Fields, star quarterback at Ohio State. Those are kind of the guys that you're looking at locked in consensus, right, at one and two heading into the 2021 rookie draft. Who is the third best quarterback, though, in your opinion?
In my opinion, the third best quarterback in this 2021 draft class, unpopular opinion, is Mac Jones, the junior quarterback at the University of Alabama. What he's done this season, if it were Tua playing at the level that Mac Jones is playing with the lack of weaponry around him, and I know he's got weapons, but not the same weapons that Tua had.
Right.
People would be losing their minds if his name were Tua Tagovailoa. Mac Jones, for me, is a pro-ready quarterback. He does not have the elite ceiling as Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. He's not in that tier. But for me, the confidence meter that I have in him being able to come in and being a Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins plus type quarterback, he's the ideal second quarterback in two QB leagues or super flex leagues. For me, it's Mac Jones, but it's a tight group between three players.
There's some really interesting names here, man. And I'm glad this is why I love having you on and guys like we had Price on last week. Like, this is why I love having you guys on, because you're the ones who are studying these guys during college football. So I don't have time. I can't watch these guys, right? So like I can hear things about Mac Jones, but I just don't have the time. And so I'm glad that you mentioned him. The other guys that I'll talk about just briefly, Trey Lance was very, very high on my draft board heading into this season, coming off of his 2019 season. But then, of course, just the whole COVID situation, only played one game against, what was it, Central Arkansas. Didn't look fantastic there. And so that's kind of pushed him out of the conversation. But if you want a tools and traits guy, enormous ceiling in the NFL.
Yes.
Huge fan of his. And then Zach Wilson at BYU has also pushed his way into this conversation. I mean, kind of the way that I haven't been able to watch his tape, but I've seen highlights, I've seen little clips here or there. The way that I've heard him described as a Johnny Manziel without the off-field issues. I mean, right. What are your thoughts here on Zach Wilson super quick?
I think he's a talented quarterback. I think he is a first-round talent. I do not believe at this point in his career he's a better quarterback than Johnny Manziel or Trey Lance or Mac Jones. I think he has the talent to develop into that. He's the quarterback that you draft and you make sure he sits behind an NFL veteran for a year, maybe a year and a half, and then I think you may have something on your hands.
Good to know. Bradley Kraft asks, and this is just right up your alley here, dude. How high do you think Kyle Pitts goes in rookie drafts?
I don't care if it's tight end premium. I don't care if it's super flex. He's a first round pick. I would have him probably as the third best wide receiver in this class if he were categorized as such. It wouldn't shock me to see him taken around the 105, 106. I wouldn't do that personally, but there will be people who want the next. It's the echo chamber. People want the next George Kittle. People want the next Travis Kelce. And when you have those players, it's a significant advantage to your fantasy rosters. But I can see him going in the middle of the first round. But either way, whatever format you play in, I think he's a locked in top 12 pick. But I could see him going as high as 105, 106.
I completely agree. Kyle Pitts, obviously, tight end out of Florida, has just been on fire. He's just been playing lights out this season for Florida. One of the most talented move tight ends that I think we've seen coming out here recently. Noah Fant probably in that same. He's probably in that same kind of tier as Noah Fant coming out, maybe even a little bit higher. Matt on Twitter asks, how to best utilize draft picks during a dynasty rebuild? So do you draft rookies? Or do you trade for proven talent? I'll just throw this to you first before I chime in with my thoughts. Again, how to best utilize your draft picks during a dynasty rebuild? Let's say that you've accumulated quite a few if you're rebuilding.
Yeah, I think you play your situations, and the best advice that I can give is know your league and know how your league values those picks. They value players. I've got a couple of rebuilds where I sold off all of my valuable assets, Devontae Adams, you know, those high end players, and I'm sitting on a boatload of rookie picks. And honestly, Kyle, my mind isn't made up yet because I want a combination of both. I would love to be able to trade a couple of those for some proven NFL players that are young, as well as draft some guys. So the good thing is you don't have to make that decision technically until you're on the clock. But we've got tons of time. My big advice is kind of think about what you want to do, but this is way too early to even have a plan about that right now. You know, like just hold them. I know it's like money burning a hole in your pocket, but at this point in time in the season, it does you no good to trade those rookie picks. Let the combine play out, let the pro days play out, and then start to think about what to do with some of those assets.
I completely agree. That was going to be my advice, was like, hold on to them for right now. The closer that you get to your rookie draft, the more the rookie picks, their value increases, right? Like, people right now are not looking that far ahead to the 2021 rookie draft right now. If they are competing, right? They're in the fantasy playoff, like they're in the playoffs in your dynasty league. They're not looking that far ahead at this point. So they could be, if you sold off an asset right now, or sold a draft pick, excuse me, for a proven asset, you're not going to get the true value. Wait and let that accumulate until you get right before your rookie draft, because someone's going to be sitting there saying, I've fallen in love with Travis Etienne coming out of Clemson. I really, really like him. I really, really want him on my team. I'll give you this proven asset, and this lower tier draft pick, right? Like, at that point, otherwise, right now, they could just say, I'll give you, you know, this lower tier player. Right. Like, the value is going to increase the closer that you get, and the more that people start to get inundated with these, and the more information that's thrown at them with these incoming rookies. So, yeah, I think don't be afraid to sell off those rookie picks for proven assets, younger assets that you can still rebuild around. But yet wait, don't do it now.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Go ahead. Were you going to add
anything? I was just going to say, it's so critical, and I just want to reiterate that. Your current rookie picks right now will only increase in value at this point. They're just wait. Right. Just be patient. Once Rondell Moore goes and runs a 4.3 40-yard dash, people are going to lose their minds. And those picks that you're sitting on, people are going to want those. So just be patient right now. This is not the time to trade those picks away.
Yep, for sure. All right, Thomas on Twitter, 12-team Superflex League. He has the 101 and he needs a quarterback. He's in a good spot. Does he take Trevor Lawrence, or does he trade back one spot for Fields? So he said, let's say I get a mid-second for trading back. And then he also includes they hired Gates, obviously the Jets. They hired Gase, so who says the next hire isn't as bad? So I guess for me right now, I don't want to make that decision to trade back. I don't think that you have to make that decision anytime soon. So wait to see who they hire as a head coach. Wait to see if they actually do draft Trevor Lawrence, or if they trade down in some weird, bizarre situation, whatever. Wait, you don't have to move anytime soon. Do you have anything to add to that one?
So here's my only thing to add, and this has nothing to do with fantasy strategy, but it's about playing the game. And sometimes it's fun to own players. And I'm just going to say this. If I had to make this decision now, which you don't, I just want Trevor Lawrence, man. I want Trevor Lawrence on my team. It's this game should be fun. Playing this should be fun. And we've seen Trevor Lawrence since he was like in the eighth grade. Like, it just for a mid-second to move back one spot just right now, that just know that doesn't really intrigue me much. And I want Trevor Lawrence. If I've got an opportunity to draft Trevor Lawrence for my team, I just want that guy. So the answer for me would be no, but your answer is really the right answer. You don't have to make that decision right now.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, treat it like the NFL does with the number one overall pick. Like, you have to pay a king's ransom to come up and get that pick. Otherwise, I mean, a mid-second, no. I'm not trading back to number two even for a mid-second. Brad Bolt on Twitter, I like Donovan Peoples-Jones last year. Who is the guy in the fifth to seventh round range who will have a huge impact next year? So, Brad, this is a little bit difficult to answer right now because there's no consensus on these players, right? Like, the closer that we get to draft season, the more that we know who's declaring, right? Like, that's a huge part of it too. And we know who's going to be in. That's where we can start to formulate the ideas of, okay, this guy's going to be in the fifth to seventh round range. So I'll just phrase this to you, Ray, and lean on your, you know, your work in Devy, particularly, like, you've been watching these guys for a while. Who is a sleeper? Let's just phrase it this way. Who's a sleeper in this upcoming class that not many people are talking about that you really like their tape?
Two players, and I'll be really quick. One, Daz Newsome, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. And when you're using the example of Donovan Peoples-Jones, one of those players that really excelled on special teams but sort of underproduced at the wide receiver position, you're looking at a player like Daz Newsome, who's a special teams ace for North Carolina. He's come on lately here the past couple of weeks as a receiver, somebody that I really liked and will probably make a name for himself early on in his NFL career on special teams, as well as Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney, a tumultuous career for his first three seasons, lack of production, injuries and such. But this final season here, he has just been outstanding in the receiving game. One of those wide receivers that you can give those little quick jet sweeps to, those touch passes, and then his ability to perform on special teams. And my entire, you could check the receipts. What I said about Donovan Peoples-Jones pre-draft was, he's going to make a name for himself on special teams, which he sort of did in Cleveland, played on special teams. And all I'm looking for, Kyle, are players who have an opportunity to get an opportunity to score fantasy points. And that's what special teams can do. Don't forget, do not forget that Tyreek Hill started his career as a special teams ace and ended up developing into one of the top wide receivers in the NFL.
That's a really interesting conversation, because the guys who in the fourth round of your rookie drafts or whatever, you're just looking for these dart throws. Don't take the guy who's never performed on special teams whatsoever. He could get cut week four of the preseason. Like, he's just not going to stick on an NFL roster, because for the NFL, the guys who are fifth or sixth wide receivers on their team, they're looking to have them contribute on special teams. So yeah, love that call. Dynasty Devil on Twitter wants me to ask where you have Tylan Wallace and Sage Surratt ranked.
Right now, I've got Tylan Wallace inside the top 10, right behind Terrace Marshall from LSU. Terrace Marshall, I have him 7th. Tylan Wallace is 8th. And Sage Surratt is a little bit lower. I have him at wide receiver 14. Big wide receiver out of Wake Forest. I think he's about 6'3", 200-plus pounds, 210 pounds. But depending on what he does during the pre-draft process, he may move up. He's one of the guys, Kyle, who opted out of this season, so we have not seen him play this college football season. So the pre-draft process is going to be important for Sage Surratt. But I still have him as a top 15 wide receiver in the 2021 class.
Man, I love me some Tylan Wallace. I'll be honest, I had him ranked very highly last year before he decided to stay after tearing his ACL. This dude, undersized, all metrics are going to point to, you know, analytics, Twitter is not going to be a huge fan of this guy. His tape's fantastic.
Yes.
J.E. Urseth on Twitter, who is the 2020 running back that you trade to get Travis Etienne? So again, Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson, kind of landing in that top tier for the consensus. So Travis Etienne, who is the 2020 running back that you trade to make sure that you get Travis Etienne?
None of them. I would take none of them for me. I do believe that Travis Etienne is one of the top running backs in this 2021 class. And Kyle, once you finally get to dive into it, you will see how uninspiring this running back class really is. I don't think I would trade any of the top guys to get Travis Etienne. And after that, there's nobody else that a dynasty manager would give you or give up to acquire him. So I still would prefer Cam Akers at this point, DeAndre Swift, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson, Jonathan Taylor, and J.K. Dobbins to Travis Etienne at this point.
Yeah, same here. I graded Travis Etienne with all these other guys because before he declared that he was going to return. And Travis Etienne was behind the top tier guys of J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and DeAndre Swift for me. So especially knowing their landing spots now, I'm not moving any of them to go get Travis Etienne. Vinny on Twitter, who are the running backs to target in next year's rookie class? So we just talked about them. And he said, aside from the obvious ones like Harris and Etienne, and then David Brown asked a similar question and then asked if we would take any of them at 103 of a 1QB rookie draft. So let's focus in on that first. Who are the running backs to target in next year's rookie class? So I guess it just like the better way of phrasing this, who's behind Harris and Etienne?
Yeah, so Javonta Williams, the running back from North Carolina, is my RB3. And then we've got a guy, Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis, who opted out this season. Really interesting about Gainwell, Kyle, is we are so excited about Antonio Gibson, and we talked about his profile coming out of college and why he only received 30-something carries at Memphis. Well, it was because Kenneth Gainwell was the leading rusher for that team, a dual-threat guy. The concern about him is his size. If he's sub 190, that's not going to be good. You've got Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State. Chuba Hubbard has taken a massive dip down my rankings. And honestly, Kyle, after that, it just gets kind of nasty. So yeah. if I had to throw you the James Robinson of this class, just check out Elijah Mitchell from Louisiana. He's probably the player that I'm pegging as this year's James Robinson, who will be drafted day three of the NFL draft and end up making a roster and probably going to perform really well at some point in his NFL career. But I'm telling you guys, don't get excited for 2020 happening again in 2021 at the running back position. It's not there.
Yeah. Building off of David Brown's question, would you take any of them at 103 of a 1QB rookie draft?
Yes. Najee Harris is my third ranked player after I would be fine with taking Najee Harris at 103.
Cool. Jake Teske, should I try to move CEH after one season, or do you see an RB1 ranking in his future?
No, don't move him. Don't panic, folks. Don't panic. And while this has not been, he has not shown the consistency that we may have thought coming into the season, he still has not had a bad year overall. And I know weekly we want the consistent fantasy scoring week in and week out, but I still believe in the draft capital. I still believe in the offensive situation. And I still believe that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a talented running back. Hey, this is a crazy season. No training camp was weird. No mini camp, no OTAs. I mean, I think we need to just show a little patience for all of these running backs. And when we look at the top five, I mean, none of them have really performed consistently for us. So don't panic. Not yet. Please don't.
Yep. Same here. Don't sell low. You sell high and you buy low in Dynasty. You do not sell low. And even frustrating as CEH has been this season to own in Dynasty Leagues, yeah, you don't sell him now. Let's move on to a Dynasty segment here. We got about 10 minutes, man. So let's spend some time here. Who should fantasy managers be targeting in Dynasty Leagues as waivers close and trades may open back up? So again, in the majority of Dynasty Leagues, you have a trade deadline. It's already passed, and then your waivers close and your the free agents are part of your rookie draft. That's in the majority of leagues. Now, there's exceptions to that. You may be listening to this, but we wanted to point out some names here of essentially guys who are going to see their stock either skyrocket or, you know, the players that you want to get ahead of and target now while their value is low before they could absolutely become a reliable fantasy option next year. So I'm going to throw this to you, Ray. Who is a player that you're targeting who could drastically see their situation improve next season?
Oh man, so I'm going to go off the path here, and I'm going to pick a position that just seems like it's a dumpster fire year in and year out, and it's the tight end position. But Green Bay Packers, they found something in Robert Tonyan, and I am trying desperately to acquire him in a lot of leagues, and I know I'm in the minority. I asked a question on Twitter, where do you guys have Robert Tonyan in Dynasty? And the consensus was about tight end 7 to tight end 12. And I know, you know, there's a big gap between the elite guys, but his consistency and trust that he's built with Aaron Rodgers this season, I mean, he's a weekly starter. He's a weekly starter, and a lot of people still aren't believing what Tonyan can be. Jay Sternberger, that dream and ship has sailed. Mercedes Lewis, how he's still in the NFL, I do not know.
Idea.
I feel like
no
I feel like I feel like I was in high school when Mercedes Lewis was drafted. Seriously. But I'm a big fan of Robert Tonyan. He's not, you know, on a team with Devontae Adams, you're never going to be the main guy. But for him to consistently see about 5 to 6 targets a game, they're going to be efficient targets coming from a Hall of Fame quarterback. So tight end is just a hard position to solidify. And if you can get a player, Tonyan is one of those toss-in guys that I think I wouldn't just make an offer straight up for him, but in a bigger part of a bigger deal, I would love to throw in, try to acquire Robert Tonyan.
Dude, it's crazy. I thought that Tonyan had been in the NFL for longer. I don't know. I thought he was older. I don't know what. There's just something in my mind that associated Robert Tonyan with not Mercedes Lewis level, but where like he'd been in the NFL. He's only in his third season. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yes.
He's still just continuing to develop. And these are guys that at the tight end position, we say, don't expect much out of them. Year one, year two, the exceptions are the ones that we draft pretty highly. It's year three where they start to really start to figure out who they are and what they can be in the NFL. So, yeah, completely agree. Love that call. I'll stick at the tight end position. I'll go Cole Kmet in Chicago. I think you're going to see a house cleaning here in Chicago. You could see a new head coach. You could see a new general manager, new quarterback, and a different offense here. But Cole Kmet has started to come on here as of late. He's starting to get really involved in this offense. Now, I wasn't the biggest Cole Kmet fan coming out of Notre Dame, but yet he has looked pretty good here. And I think that he has the draft capital to be a factor. And you're looking at that tight end position room in Chicago. I mean, Jimmy Graham's not going to be there next year, right? Like, and yeah, there's no one behind him. He's the future at that position in Chicago. And I think that you can go get him super cheap, or he's even on your dynasty waiver wire. Because again, at the tight end position, let's go back to you. Who's a player that you're targeting?
All right. So we mentioned him very briefly earlier in this show. And listen, Kyle, Taysom Hill, okay? Taysom Hill. No, he is not an elite thrower of the football. Yes, his first however many seasons he's been in the NFL, he's been this gadget weapon. But Sean Payton believes in this kid. He believes in this guy. He's playing quarterback now. We don't expect Drew Brees to play much longer. And right now, I think the general feeling amongst the dynasty space is, oh, he's just a gadget guy. You know, there's no way, Kyle, that New Orleans is going to go in the next season if Drew Brees retires with Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback. I think they may, you know. Now, will they draft a quarterback to develop behind him? Sure, probably. I would bet on that. But if you can still acquire a player like Taysom Hill for less than probably what he should be going for, I mean, why not Taysom Hill? He's a Kunami Code type quarterback. He throws the ball. He's got weapons around him. He's got a running back. He's got a fantastic head coach who believes in him, and he can run the ball. I was slow to the party, but Taysom Hill is somebody that, man, if you can get him, he could be something for you, at least for the next couple of seasons.
I think so too, man. And it's interesting too. I mean, going into his first career start, I think, what did he have? Like 16 career pass attempts? You know, that was what was like, yeah, no, I'm not willing to buy in, right? At this point, this dude has had 16 career pass attempts. Well, now he's starting to get the experience. He's starting to get the reps in the NFL, and he's actually showing that he can succeed. So I think, yeah, he's absolutely someone that fantasy managers, I think we could see him as the future quarterback for the New Orleans Saints next year, because New Orleans. Yeah, no, dude, New Orleans is cap strapped. Like very, very, very badly cap strapped. So there's a very good chance that we see Drew Brees retire this year. I'll throw in another guy here. Let's go with one more each. Denzel Mims for me is the guy that I'll talk about, because I expect his situation to drastically change. You're going to lose Adam Gase. You're going to probably lose Sam Darnold. And then you might get, most likely will get, Trevor Lawrence in there at quarterback. That's the case. You're going to have a completely different offense. And Denzel Mims has shown that he can succeed even with Sam Darnold throwing him the ball in Adam Gase's offense. He's looked great. He's on a bad team, obviously, so we're not talking about him as much, but I think we could drastically see his situation change. And fantasy managers right now, dynasty managers right now, are just thinking about the short term. They're not thinking long term for Denzel Mims at this point. So I think you can get him super cheap.
My biggest dynasty buy right now is Denzel Mims, and it's for every single reason that you just listed.
Yeah, dude. I think, there's another team that I think we need to talk about as far as these guys who could drastically see their situation change. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, are you thinking this 6'6" giant down in Jacksonville?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Colin Johnson. I'm with you. And the same rationale, the same reasons. Colin Johnson was actually really good at Texas. Prior to his final season, he was really good. Somebody that just made, if you just want to have some fun watching some crazy catches, go look at Colin Johnson's receptions.
Insane, man.
When he was at University of Texas. And okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars may not get Trevor Lawrence, so they're going to have to settle for Justin Fields. That, I know, that the consolation prize of Justin Fields, but that situation is going to change. They're, you know, by all accounts, they're going to have a brand new quarterback, and Justin Fields is a major upgrade to that offense, and they've got weapons there. If it's James Robinson, you have LaVisca Chenault and DJ Chark, but Colin Johnson has looked, he has looked fantastic in this past week with 4 receptions, 96 yards, 157 air yards. That's what this player can do. I like him. He's a big-bodied wide receiver, and he's got decent draft capital. It's not the worst, not the best, but Colin Johnson is a player that you probably can still acquire relatively cheap, and not factoring in his potential upgraded situation next year.
Completely agree. I think, and especially too, like Chris Conley, not the future at the position here. D.D. Westbrook, he's not going to be on this team. Keelan Cole's a restricted free agent, I believe. He's most likely not back in Jacksonville. So you're looking at an opportunity here for Colin Johnson to see some significant snaps moving forward. And yeah, if you get a different offense, you get a huge upgrade at quarterback. Yeah, he has the talent. And again, like he was pushed down draft boards and NFL draft boards because of his injury. Like he really didn't play much last year. And so I think that moving forward, yeah, we can absolutely look at Colin Johnson as a buy low option who could just see his stock skyrocket. Let's wrap up here. Let's look at 2021 free agency, man. I'm going to list some players that have expiring contracts and we'll be heading into free agency this offseason. So what we'll do is we'll say whether we think they're going to stay or leave. And if we do think they're going to leave, where would be the best ideal landing spot? Now, these are not our official predictions. Like, I don't need anyone coming back to me in March, this next year saying, you said in December that this player was going to leave. But let's just have some fun with this, man. And this is mostly just an exercise to be able to put these names in front of our listeners. So that way they know, okay, this situation could change dramatically. Let's talk about Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has his contract expiring this year. Do you think he stays or do you think he leaves?
I do. I think he stays on a franchise deal. I don't think he's going to get extended. I don't think they're going to give him the big extension, but I think he stays.
I do too. I do think that he stays. You're looking at their cap space. They do have a little bit here to work with. I think they can make it work. Again, I don't know if he's going to get that huge long extension, but I do think that he will stay in Tampa Bay. Dak Prescott, pretty easy answer here, right? He's staying?
Stay.
Yeah, which is awesome news for Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper moving forward. Allen Robinson. I'm gonna say he leaves, man. I don't think he likes it here in Chicago. You're going to have a whole, I think, like I said, I think you're going to have a house cleaning. I think that he's feeling shorted, that they didn't give him that contract extension at the beginning of the year. And I think he wants to go play for an actual quarterback. You look at his history of who he's played with. It's not great. So I think he actually leaves. What do you think?
I think we deserve to see Allen Robinson with a good quarterback. And he's such a good wide receiver. He's gone, Kyle. I know you're there in Chi-Town, but he's gone, man. He's gone.
Yeah, I think a situation where I think he could end up looking at their cap space. Really interesting. AJ Green leaving. Auden Tate, surgery. Probably not going to be a huge part of this offense moving forward. What do we think of a wide receiver core in Cincinnati with Allen Robinson, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd? I think we could see it. Let's go Kenny Golladay. Do we think that Kenny Golladay stays or do we think he leaves?
Stay. They can't. They're not going to lose. He's staying.
Yeah, you look at that wide receiver room, dude. They have no one. So he's got to stay. I think it'll be a franchise tag deal, but I think he stays. Will Fuller, Houston. Bill O'Brien has left this team in the worst possible situation. No draft pick until round 3 this year, and they have very little cap room. I think he leaves.
This hurts me because I really want him. I want to say stay, but when I see the team that you have listed for where he could go in the potential quarterback upgrade there, bring it on. If that's where he's going to end up, I will take it. But yeah, he's probably gone.
Yeah, I think, the team Ray's talking about there, I think the New York Jets, they have a ton of cap space. We're looking at around projected $98 million in cap space this next year. And if they get Trevor Lawrence, then you're looking at Will Fuller throwing to Trevor Lawrence. I'll take it.
Yep.
Juju Smith-Schuster, we talked about him earlier. Disappoint. I mean, just free fall in dynasty rankings compared to where he was his rookie season coming off of that. I think he leaves. I don't think Pittsburgh has enough cap space to be able to work here. And I think an interesting team that does have a ton of cap space that needs wide receivers, Washington. I could see Washington making a move to go get Juju Smith-Schuster.
I like it a lot, and I've seen that quite a bit. He's gone. You know, I don't know where he's going to go. I do love the fit in Washington. And to be honest with you, Kyle, I think he needs to. I think he's a good number two wide receiver. They've got Terry McLaurin there as the 1A. Juju would be an awesome compliment to Terry McLaurin. But he's gone. He won't be in Pittsburgh next year.
I think so, too. Hunter Henry. I think he stays. I think Los Angeles does have some cap space to be able to work with here. I think that Hunter Henry stays.
He's staying.
Yeah, you got to surround Justin Herbert now. Yep. You found something. You got to surround him with the best weapons. You don't want to lose what... I mean, he's got the chemistry with Hunter Henry, too. I think that he stays. Jonnu Smith, my guy. I think that looking at Tennessee's cap situation, I think he leaves. They've got to make some tough decisions here with the next guy on our list, Corey Davis. So I think he leaves. And if you're looking at some opportunities here where he could end up, you're looking at cap space, I think that he could end up in New York as well, the Jets. So you could see a huge rebuild here with the Jets bringing in someone like Will Fuller, Jonnu Smith. I think that would be amazing.
I love it. I mean, I'm not joking. I love this call. And I know, again, Kyle is not predicting this is what's going to happen. But I mean, they need Christopher Herndon. Christopher Herndon.
What could have been.
But Jonnu Smith would be a welcomed addition in New York. And because of the next player, Corey Davis, who I do agree with you on this call, I think Jonnu Smith is gone as well.
Yeah, I think Corey Davis stays. He's played too well. And they've invested in him. They wanted to make him prove it. He proved it. I think they find a way to keep him here in town. Agreed. I don't think that they have enough left over, though, to be able to keep both Jonnu and Corey Davis. Aaron Jones. We talk about Dalvin Cook seeing the contract extension, Alvin Kamara getting his contract extension. Aaron Jones didn't, and they drafted a running back. Well, that's another conversation, but they drafted a running back in the second round with A.J. Dillon. I don't know if they have the cap space to be able to make this work, man. I think Aaron Jones leaves.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones is probably feeling a little disrespected. You know, why didn't you extend me? Look at who I am. Look at what I'm doing. I believe he's gone. That drafting that running back in the second round, I just don't think that they're going to have to play him. Regardless of what we think about him as prospects or thought about him as prospects, he's going to have to get on the field at some point in time. Aaron Jones is due for a big payday, and I don't know if Green Bay is going to have enough to pay him. So, especially if they're in the market for a wide receiver in free agency. So I do think he leaves as well.
Yeah, and I think a potential destination here that we need to talk about. Again, we talked about Myles Gaskin earlier. If you can upgrade that position with Aaron Jones in Miami, do that. Yep. Kenyon Drake, for me, I think he stays. I don't think he's done enough this year to price his way into it like a big contract extension with another team. I think he just stays on a short-term deal. He's 27, 28 years old, too, at this point.
Yeah, he probably wants the stability. And, you know, to be fair to Kenyon Drake, he didn't start out very well, but he's looked a lot better lately.
Yep.
I think he stays as well. They've got bigger issues in Arizona.
Right. Yeah, I think the next guy on our list, I think he's gone. James Conner. Again, we talked about it. I just don't think that he's done enough to, again, get his big contract extension here. I could see Houston moving on from David Johnson and Duke Johnson this year and just, again, trying to just play this short-term, you know, cheap deal here with James Conner. They signed him to a one-year kind of prove-it deal. I think that James Conner in Houston could be a possibility.
Yeah, go on. You know, you just get you trade out one old plotter for a younger plotter.
Right,
that sounds about Houston, and Deshaun Watson deserves so much better. But this sounds about Houston Texans level of a move right here. But James Conner, regardless of where he ends up, Kyle, he will not be back in Pittsburgh. They said going into the season they had no plans to extend him. So James Conner's going to leave.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Ray, this was a ton of fun, man. Thanks so much for taking some time out and chatting. And remind everyone where they can find you and your work.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you to Fantasy Pros for having me on. Please follow me on Twitter at RayGQ. That's Q-U-E. You can find my work on YouTube, on FTN, and on Patreon, patreon.com/allgas. Once again, Kyle, thank you, brother. Really appreciated this. And thank you to Fantasy Pros for doing an amazing job in this fantasy space.
Absolutely, man. It only took us a year and a half, 2 years maybe even, but we finally talked on a podcast and it was great, man.
Before we end today's podcast, I want to say thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring today's episode. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code Yates.
Guys, Dan and Tags will be back tomorrow with our Start Sit show, and then I'll be back on Friday to go over every single matchup with Dan to make sure that you are ready for your fantasy football playoff matchup. Until then, stay safe, everyone. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.